The first reading is taken from Psalm 19, verses 1 to 11. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warmed. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Romans 1, verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse.
I'm going to have a little break from our series on James just for a moment. And I want to talk about something that's quite dear to my heart, which is science and religion. The statisticians say that the number of people who worship God in Britain is steadily declining year on year. And the number of people who claim on the census form to have no religion is on the rise. Why is that? Well, I think one of the reasons is that people think that science and religion are incompatible. We're told that science is rational and reasonable, but religion is irrational and it's blind faith. And people ask, has science disproved God? Now, I think there are other reasons for decline. One of them is people distrust big institutions nowadays. And also people are a little bit less willing to meet together in public. They much prefer to look things up on the internet and so on. But this science and religion thing is, for a lot of people, it's a real issue with faith. Now, many of you will know that I am a scientist. My A-levels were in double maths and physics. I spent 3 years reading physics as my degree at university. And then I spent a couple of years doing commercial research after that with lasers and fiber optics and so on. And my experience through all of that, and university in particular, was that there were many scientists who came to faith in Jesus Christ. It didn't seem to be a problem for scientists and people studying science. I think basically people saw it like this, that God's existence was a hypothesis. You could say, does God exist? Well, if he does, then let's look at the evidence. And they would say that God's existence actually fits the evidence and the facts quite well. It's funny that people doing other sorts of degrees, like languages and literature and so on, didn't seem quite so willing to be Christians because they've been taught to pull texts apart and criticize them and be quite negative about them. So when they came to the Bible, they didn't find it very easy to believe. Now, as a scientist, I have to say that you can't easily prove that God exists. I thought for a while, wouldn't it be great if you could actually find some evidence of God, a photograph, or measure him on a meter or something like that. But in this world, there's actually very little that you can prove thoroughly, logically. Most claims that people make can be denied or questioned. Donald Trump is proving that almost daily, isn't he? He's denying almost every claim, that factual claim that people are making. So science examines the material world. It looks at things that we can touch and see and feel and measure. And science produces theories, principles about how those things work. And then it tests those theories against all the evidence that we can find. Theology actually used to be called the queen of the sciences, because when you think about it, theology works in much the same way with the big questions about God. If God exists, then how would that make the world look? What difference would it make in our world? And as we've heard in our readings, there's plenty of evidence for God in the creation around us. In, for example, the amazing suitability of our world to grow human beings. And, of course, the strongest evidence of all is in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. So, in a way, theology is also saying, let's look at the evidence. Let's see what it would mean for God to exist. Science is quite good at telling you how things happen, how things came about, and how they work. And scientists, sometimes when they're doing that, they reckon that they've explained it all, that they've explained who made things and how they made them. For example, evolution. Random mutations produce variations in living things. That's why, for example, when a couple have children, the children are often different, not just to one parent or the other, but actually different to both parents. You get variations like that, don't you? And then evolution says that in tough times, when things get hard, then the best survive. So you get natural selection, and it's the best who survive who go on to have children. And scientists say, well, this is how evolution seems to work. Species gradually evolve and improve. And when that was all being discovered in the 1860s, scientists began to fight to pursue intellectual thought, and they fought to make it free from the influence of the church and the influence of religion. A chap called T.H. Huxley started what he called the X Club, which was dedicated to advance science pure and free from religious dogma. It was said that Napoleon, for example, asked the physicist Laplace what he thought about God. And Laplace replied, God? I have no need of that hypothesis. Laplace reckoned that we could do it all without God. But the funny thing is, you haven't cut God out of nature. Science is simply showing the mechanism, how things work. And in the 19th century, they thought of nature as a bit like a complicated watch mechanism. When you understand the details of how a watch works inside, you haven't actually proved that there's no watchmaker. You've simply explained the mechanism. For a Christian, you've simply discovered how wonderfully God has made the things of this earth. So there were lots of philosophers around in those days who talked about first causes, for example. Everything in nature has something that has produced it or caused it. And Thomas Aquinas, for example, said, if you track that all back, there must be somewhere a first cause of the universe. And he said, well, that's God, isn't it? But the Bible isn't meant to be treated quite like that. It isn't meant to be a science textbook. And if you treat the Bible as science, then you get some quite weird answers. Much as you would if you treated Wordsworth's poems as science. They're not meant to be scientific documents. Or Shakespeare's plays. They're They're meant to use metaphor and imagery and so on. Astronomer Galileo, in 1616, he said this. He said, "Religion teaches how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go." Clever man, Galileo. Religion teaches how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go. When we read the Bible, if we're not careful, we approach it from our modern culture, our consumerist culture. And one of the assumptions of our culture is that God doesn't play a part in life, that miracles don't happen, that God's not involved in day-to-day things. Now, you might disagree with that, but actually a lot of us live our lives without much reference to God. We don't expect God to show up. But I think that's a mistake, because God is involved in our lives. One scientist said, "I studied physics because I wanted to know how God made the world." Science itself is a Christian activity. We can only do science if we think that the world is rational and comprehensible in principle, and also that we are capable of that understanding. And these are both huge assumptions requiring faith. The rise of science in Europe was started by Christian philosophers like Galileo, who I've just mentioned, who relied on philosophers before him, theologians like William of Ockham and Anselm and Thomas Aquinas. Sometimes Christians have been tempted to say, well, God explains the bits we don't understand, the mysteries. And that's been called the God of the gaps in our understanding. But the problem with that is every time we learn something new, every time we begin to understand something that was previously a mystery, like, I don't know, the nature of light or the way our eyes work, every time that happens, God seems to shrink a little bit. The gaps in our understanding get smaller. But actually, I think God is everywhere. He's in the bits we do understand, as well as the bits we don't understand. He's just as responsible for the wonders of modern medicine as he is for the things that are still mysteries to us. The laws of nature, as we describe them, are actually not something that somebody has said, this must happen always. They're actually descriptions of how nature works. And if a miracle happens, something that seems to break the laws of nature, that doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong. It simply means something very unusual has happened. Some other factor or explanation has come in. Today, you may have seen on television, for example, Muslim children learning about science in school, loving their lessons and their science, and then they're often told, either by their teacher or by their families, that they have to choose one or the other. They have to either be a scientist or to follow their Islamic faith, because science is assumed to be atheist. But that's simply not true. While science deals with material things rather than God, there's still no reason to deny that God made everything, and science is simply illuminating what God has done, opening up our understanding of how he did it. Television documentaries on medicine or cosmology or nature or whatever, they fill us with wonder and awe, don't they? And I think as we watch those, let it prompt us to worship and adore the God who's responsible for this amazing creation. So I want to say I am a scientist. I'm still a scientist. And I love discovering the wonderful workings of this world. So don't let anyone tell you that science means that we don't need God somehow. Because God's the author and the creator of all this marvelous cosmos, and he's your God and mine. Amen.